This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, Julian Ng with me, as well as Kusu Chuang, with the top business stories of the day. We have loan growth, which slows. We have bondholders losing confidence. We ask whether Deutsche Bank's problems will lead us to a Lehman Brothers or Bear Stearns moment. And finally, we have the UK's Theresa May putting some certainty into the uncertainty over Brexit. So, gentlemen, should we start with the loan growth issue?
Yeah, 4.2% was the August loans growth, which is obviously touted from the headlines by the lowest since May 2003, which is obviously going to be sending alarm bells all over the financial sector. But it's a necessary slowdown, isn't it? Because obviously we've been chugging along at a huge pace for years and years, and our household debt to GDP ratio is somewhere around 91%, highest in ASEAN.
90%.
It's got to slow down eventually.
Well, I mean, loan growth, a major barometer, or part of that barometer, the health of a financial system?
Very much so, I think. Barometer more of economic activity, I would say, because you would have the SMEs, which are the biggest borrowers in the banking sector, and rightly so as well, for their own expansion and so on. I mean, this is really quite bad, I would say, because I've not seen this kind of figures ever. I think back in 2003, that was the lowest one with 1.9% year-on-year growth. But, you know, usually you're quite used to the new normal slowdown of 8 to 9% growth. We're talking about half of that right now. And this is certainly way below the kind of mid-teens type of loan growth that we've seen in the past.
Yeah, Craig, and by and large, you are right, because it's also a reflective of sentiment. If you are not positive about the future, you are not going to borrow money, and therefore growth slows down. But, you know, in the late 2000, 2009, 2010, 2011, we used to discuss loans growth of 15, 16, 17% blended across the board. Some banks are doing much more than that. That was something like twice or 2.5 times the underlying national growth. Obviously, that's a lot of that debt was actually bad in nature. You know, credit cards, personal loans, you know,
property. Which is not necessarily bad.
So, okay, are these numbers disaggregated? I mean, do we know where the loans are slowing down most? Just a lump sum.
Well, the bright spark in all this from the Bank Negara statement was the fact that, and they try and, you know, obviously they try and counter the bad news. And they say that the number of loans disbursed to businesses, in fact, increased with a larger volume of loans sent to the wholesale and retail trade, restaurants, hotels, manufacturing, transport, storage, and communication. So,
what are we talking about? What kind of growth are we talking about?
Well, exactly. The story doesn't say so.
So it's averaging down to just about 4%. Which means that the business sector would be borrowing maybe 5-6%, which is still pretty low. And if you consider our GDP growth of around the 4% level, 4%.
At Q2, yeah.
That's a real growth, which means that it's been inflation has been taken out of that growth, whereas the banking number is a nominal growth where it includes, it's not discounted for inflation, right? We can expect that GDP will slow down as well, because I would say that loans are a leading indicator of what's happening as far as economic activity.
What about borrowers and lenders? I mean, is there a distinction? Maybe there are people wanting to borrow money, but the banks aren't lending
Correct.
Them. I mean, so how do we kind of make sure we got the right story?
Correct. So rejection rates at banks, if you look at it for
how. Why are they rejecting, right?
Yeah, so obviously they don't meet the criteria, whereas in the past...
Yeah, which falls back on the economy. If the economy is good and you will be in a position where you're having the ability to service your loan, why reject those applications?
Well, unless the banks are more cautious. I mean, is that a possibility?
Why are they cautious?
Yeah, they're afraid. I mean, look at Maybank's latest quarterly results. They dropped 16% on the year, and they set aside 250% of, I think that was one of the arbitrary number, but they set aside more money for loans loss provisioning. And that's, I think, just the ongoing thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, moving on, bondholders for Perisai rejected a kind of a request for an extension, and they say it's because they've lost confidence. And is it because they lost confidence in that company or in the sector generally?
Well, it's the energy sector, isn't it? It's the collapse of oil prices and Preside Petroleum. I think they tried to extend the maturity of their bond to February 2017. And basically, the bondholders, in fact, 7 out of 10 investors basically told them to go and fly kites, you know. It's like, you know, it's like Sherrod.
I'm sure they were much more polite than that. They're classy, aren't they?
They're much classy. They're much classier
than me. Bondholders are very classy.
Yeah, very classy. Okay. It's like Sherrod, if I owe you money and I need to pay it back to you today, and I say to you, Sherrod, can I extend my IOU to you by a year? And then you tell me, Chuang, go fly kites. It's the same thing.
Okay, but if I came to you and I said I want to extend it, surely I'd be offering something in return for the extension. Isn't that possible?
Exactly,
wouldn't there be a sweetener in the deal?
If you're being asked to fly kite and the alternative is not getting even 1 cent back out of the loan, then that would incentivize you to really give them that IOU note for another year or two. Otherwise, you're getting back zero on a dollar.
Correct, because I'll say to you, Sherrod, I'm sorry, I don't believe in your ability to pay me back in 12 months' time, let alone now. So, you know, I'm going to take
corporate security. You know, there is a saying, borrow a little money and the bank would control you, but borrow a lot of money, you control the bank.
You control the bank.
So what's going to happen now? Is there going to be a fire sale?
Well, we don't know because the story doesn't say so. It just quotes, for example, this one of the bondholders, Cheng Feng Qiu. He's basically pointed out that over 20 bondholders were gathered in the basement in the office tower in Singapore Central Business District to vote on the plan. And this is a $125 million bond due yesterday. So obviously, it's I think then the next steps kick into place.
Everyone's still thinking about what happened to Swiber.
That's right.
Which, of course, couldn't service his loans. And I think bondholders for that company would be only too pleased to give them the extension with a guarantee or with a promise that they would be repaid perhaps half or three quarters of what was owed. But I think also the developments in OPEC recently, I think there is a lot of skepticism about whether that production cut deal would pan out, because I think the world is just filled up to their eyeballs with oil, and this jump in oil prices would cause the shale producers to come back out in the market and totally derailing that intention to prop up oil prices.
Yeah, exactly. I saw that and I was wondering, okay, so who's responsible for what percent of cuts? And basically the discussions didn't have any kind of details, right? how much do you cut by, and who's responsible for the biggest cut?
We are living in an age where there is a lot of oil. In fact, there's too much oil sloshing around.
It's time to go and buy that Rolls-Royce Ghost, Jules.
Just to brick and accelerate. Just for the sake of using more fuel.
Because we can, you know.
Yeah.
We're not going to... okay.
And what's going to happen to biofuel?
Exactly. But what's going to happen to biofuel?
So all this is being artificially manipulated. Is that what it is? I mean, it's the oil prices, supply.
No, it's not. Actually, it's really very much economics at work, right? Suppliers are willing to supply at lower and lower prices because of technology, because of new sources of supply. And, classic economics, when supply is more than demand, prices come down.
Yeah, but of course the energy markets have been accused in the past of being rigged by speculators, oil speculators, right? Who bet prices down, bet prices up.
Well, speaking of prices and banks and such, Deutsche Bank is going to be on everybody's lips for some time because they're part of a really big story. They're going to be fined, it's clear. The question is, what is going to be the effect on the entire global financial architecture? And the people have, and analysts have come out to say, well, they've mentioned the Lehman Brothers, and then, you know, they've mentioned Bear Stearns. And the question is, if you're not an expert, how do you explain these different scenarios? Well, what do the things stand for?
I think the Oxford Dictionary should put an entry for Lehman Brothers.
Lehman moment.
To mean disaster or an implosion of some sort. Hey, has a Lehman happened to you over the weekend?
No, Julian, I haven't had a cardiac arrest yet. But yeah, so here's the facts, right? The Department of Justice, the U.S. Department of Justice wants to fine. I think the opening salvo in terms of the numbers of $14 billion fine. Not many people expect the full quantum to be paid. I think Deutsche have set aside $5.5 billion for liability payments.
That's the latest.
That's the latest.
They were trying to hammer out a deal, and apparently that sum was reduced by two-thirds to $5.5 billion from $14 billion.
Yeah. And but so that's also the money that Deutsche have set aside as well.
Yes, yes. Right. They have set that aside. And I guess investors were cheering that rumor and pushing Deutsche's stock price up a little bit over the weekend.
Could you just remind us what Deutsche Bank did to deserve this fine? Because I think maybe there are many people who might not remember this.
Well, they made speculation part of their business model. Basically, they sold customers risky residential
mortgage
backed securities.
It's basically mis-selling. Sharad, if I tried to sell you asset-backed security without any knowledge of whether you can buy them, that's their crime. And not only did they sell it, they sold loads of it.
Yeah. So it's delicious irony that John Cryan, the Deutsche Bank CEO, says that speculators have driven their share price low. Well, mate, you made a mess of it by selling speculative treasuries in the first place. So here's the chickens coming home to roost.
But Chuang, explain something to me, because I see the headline here from this article, Deutsche isn't a Lehman, but more like a Bastions. I didn't read that article. What exactly does that mean?
Yeah, I think in this case, it's basically Bear Stearns wasn't in as strong a capital position as Deutsche is. I think they've got something like, you know, 200 over billion in reserves. I think they've got lots of assets to sell. They've also got recourse to the European Central Bank reserves, whereas in none of those cases was Bear in any position to have that kind of recourse. So it probably doesn't have that kind of systemic collapse risk.
So a Lehman is not going to happen to the
Deutsche. Well, that's what a lot of people are saying, including L. Arian.
Okay, so a Bear Stearns is a less worse scenario than a Lehman Brothers.
Yeah, because Deutsche has got a lot more answers to the questions right now.
Speaking of scenarios, the Brexit scenario, we know that Article 50 has not been invoked yet, but Theresa May says it will be by May next year, March next year. And that's taken a bit of the uncertainty out of the general atmosphere of uncertainty over the Brexit.
Well, she's wanted to do that because it's political in nature. She's doing this before the Tory conference. She's getting it for a bit of favourable headlines. But it does set into the motion this whole 24-month clock. And she's got 24 months to hammer out two things: the divorce proceedings and how you divide the assets.
Not her own,
well,
but the countries.
The countries, yes, of course. And the terms of the trade terms, essentially. And the UK needs the EU more than the EU needs the UK in terms of exports.
Well, that's a story that's going to be, that has legs yet. So we'll come back to that. After the news, we'll have opening numbers on the stock market and more analysis. You're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.